Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you The Catholic Doctors, discussing medicine in light of church teaching. And now, The Catholic Doctors with Dr. Michael Parker and Dr. Will Turek.
Welcome to The Catholic Doctors Show, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. This is your co-host, Dr. Michael Parker, in studio with Dr. Will Turek. Will, how are you today?
I am doing just fantabulous.
Well, that's good to hear.
You got it.
You know, we survived everything and...
I shoveled my driveway about three or four times.
In the past week.
Yeah.
El Nino is leaving and El Nina is coming in,
that's
right?
That's it.
So
that's
we'll
it.
Have a much wetter fall than we expected.
Jeez, oh man. And how's that going to affect your bees?
Well, you know, as long as we don't have the rain in the spring, we'll get plenty of honey.
Yeah. Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Your honey is delicious.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. And it's, you know, it's called Brother Humbert's honey is what we call it.
Brother Humbert?
Yeah.
Who is Brother Humbert?
After Brother Humbert O.P.
Oh, he's a Dominican.
He's a brother in the Dominican House of Studies right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Very nice.
And so we've named the honey after him.
Well, what was so good about Brother Humbert, though?
He's just a good man, holy man, a friend of the family.
You just picked this Dominican out of nowhere, friar,
and it has that alliteration that goes with honey.
Brother Humbert Hummy. I can't even say it.
That's okay. you don't need to.
I just need it. Right.
But
right.
They will be sponsoring the show.
Oh, really? Okay. Brother Humbert
Their first sponsor for the show. Right? No.
All right, what are we doing today?
We have a very good show. I think an interesting show for our listeners to find out more about these healthcare professionals.
This is our educational series.
It is.
Right.
It's part of that.
Yeah.
Okay. But as most people know, in the discussion that was going on about the Affordable Care Act, with more and more people having access to healthcare, who was going to be providing this healthcare services? And we heard talk that doctors were going to be retiring, fewer people would be going into medicine, that there wouldn't be enough doctors around to support the increased demand for healthcare.
Right.
And so what we're seeing is an increase in the number of what we call either ancillary provider or tertiary care or providers who are non-physicians,
right,
to provide that health care. And an excellent choice for many people is what's called a physician's assistant.
Right.
And so we have with us today Dr. Tim Budnick, who is the assistant clinical professor at Ohio Dominican University.
A classmate of mine from the fine Kirksville College of Osteopathic Medicine, Kirksville, Missouri.
Right.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He is a classmate of yours.
He is.
And I'm sure that he's the reason you got through.
Well, there may be some truth to that.
That may be true.
That very well may be true.
And Shauna Reidlinger, who is a certified physician's assistant, who is the ODU, Ohio Dominican University, PA program director. Welcome to the Catholic Doctors Show, production of AM 820.
Thank you.
So, Tim, tell us how long the program has been at Ohio Dominican University, and what was the impetus for getting it started there?
The program started in August of 2012. I've been there since like September 2013. Shauna has been there the whole time. and then some.
Right.
And there was no PA program here in Central Ohio. So our president, Dr. Peter Cymbalek, came from another university that had a PA program, and he kind of pushed to start it at Ohio Dominican. So they went through all the pre-approval process and stuff, and they had a preliminary approved, and then, you know, kind of where it's at now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Shauna, tell us about the growth process for the school, where you started out and where are you right now?
Right. We have graduated two cohorts now, so we feel like we're really growing in multiple ways to having an alumni base as well as a good student base. Our first class of students had 46, and our subsequent classes have had 50. And so, and that's really the measure that we're going to stay at. And so the great thing is that we're able to put out 50 great PA grads every December. And so I can say of the 50 that just graduated this past December, at least 90% of them are already officially accepted a position or almost to that point.
Beautiful.
For the rest of them. So in a variety of settings, so we're seeing further growth for our profession in emergency medicine, surgery subspecialties.
Sure.
And really part of our goal is to improve the access of care for primary care settings.
Of course.
And that's what we hope to strive to do.
Mm-hmm. So now, insofar as the PA program, mm-hmm. We have PAs and then we have nurse practitioners.
Right.
The PA programs, and I had a PA program affiliated with my residency when I was at Southern Illinois University. And they go on a medical model,
yes,
as I understand
do. Mm-hmm.
It, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so, in other words, they train in a similar way. I should explain that. They train in a similar way to physicians.
Yes, right.
Basic sciences, mm-hmm. and then clinical sciences.
Yes, right.
Okay.
And we see a progression in our program. There's four didactic semesters, and the first semester is pretty heavy on that science component, mm-hmm. gross anatomy, those kinds of things, and then it progresses through clinical medicine throughout the remainder of that didactic portion of the program.
Sure. And then you have, I assume when you're in the clinical portion, mm-hmm. you have rotations where,
yes.
Outpatient settings, maybe inpatient,
yes.
settings,
mm-hmm.
where you place students and they get, right. experience there.
Yes. The clinical year is 12 months, and they students will rotate into a different service or rotation every month. And mm-hmm. So they're throughout Ohio and even in other states we have students rotating in. So often if our students come from surrounding states in the Midwest or beyond, then and if we can place them there, we will. So we do that as well. But yeah, it's a great opportunity to expand the care for patients.
Sure.
Okay. So how long is the program in and of itself?
Mm-hmm.
It's 27 months.
Mm-hmm.
Which is 15 months of in the classroom didactic, and then it's 12 months of in the clinical setting, with at the end of each month they come back to campus for what we call CAD day, and they take a test, they give presentations, we meet with them, stuff like that. So it's 27 months total, but it's broken up. Mm-hmm. It's very much like accelerated medical school.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, instead of doing it over 4 years, you're doing it over 27 months, but you're getting everything crammed in there.
Right. That always kind of feels like I always described it as like putting your mouth on a fire hose.
Right,
you know?
That's what we actually use that quite a bit with students as well.
Yeah.
And it's full-time. So when they're coming into the program, they're not working outside of the program. It's full-time classroom work, pretty much 8 to 5, Monday through Friday, and then some, and then than the rotations as well.
Wow.
So is that length of time comparable to other PA programs that
yes.
are out
yes.
there?
Mm-hmm.
Is that pretty much the standard of mm-hmm. length for most PA programs?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Anywhere from 24 to 30 months, but the average mm-hmm. being most consistently 27.
Wow. So where do you draw your students from? Are there certain requirements that are necessary to get into PA school, or where are these people coming from?
They're coming from, I'd say a fair share are from the Midwest area, just from a geographical draw, and I think that's pretty common. But the backgrounds really vary from, there's not one undergraduate degree that you have to have. Sometimes it's biology, chemistry, but oftentimes psychology. We have several students that some of this is a first stop for them where they're going straight from undergrad to grad school, or it's what we call a second stop. Maybe they were a marketing executive and they wanted to do something different, or a dietitian or something like that. And so it's kind of a variety. Our classroom age ranges from about 23 to 47.
Wow.
So, okay. Which makes for an interesting group of people.
More likely you're going to see in the 20s, younger
right.
20s, because it is predominantly people that come from undergrad, or they've maybe taken a year off mm-hmm. to get some experience, and mm-hmm. then they apply,
right.
versus people coming from a totally different career.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
We've had art majors, mm-hmm. you know, that have had an artistry, and now they want to go, you know, medical route.
Mm-hmm. That's wild.
Are there basic requirements that are necessary to apply or to get in?
Yes, there's prereqs that you have to meet. So your degree could be in something otherwise, but you still have to do the same prereqs. Pretty heavy in the sciences, the typical biology, microbiology, chemistry, also some arts classes that we think are important, and statistics and things like that. But yeah.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm.
So, Tim, since you and I are, you know, simpatico, we're compadres here.
Sure.
You know, what kind of things do you bring to the table insofar as trying to advise students, and from your medical experience, how does that play out? Because I'm sure they come to you.
Yes, oh, yes. They come, and usually it's to yell and scream at me versus coming asking for advice, but it's a little bit of both. They, we each have advisees assigned to us, but then if I'm like the instructor for ClinMed or clinical medicine, which they're taking right now, it's a 7-credit-hour course, if they have questions on that, my office is right across from the classroom. Maybe by choice, I don't know, but they're always in there asking questions. What does this mean? What does that mean?
Yeah.
And then just other issues like I'm having trouble like balancing family,
sure,
and you know, schoolwork, or you know, my significant other and schoolwork.
Yeah.
And that becomes kind of real life.
Yeah.
You know, having been in practice forever, they look to me and the rest of the faculty as having kind of real life experience.
Sure.
And going from there to, you know, how do you, you know, go from being a student to being successful in practice?
Right. Well, and since you're a trained ear, nose, and throat doctor, I'm sure your ear, nose, and throat section is stellar, right?
Of course. Yeah.
Really high board scores on those areas. Yeah. Absolutely.
In our first cohort, we had 3 people that went into ENT. I'm like, yes. And then none since that. So I don't know if I'm losing it or we just got lucky the first cohort. I'm not sure.
Yeah. You're listening to the Catholic Doctor Show, production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AMA 20, and we're talking with Dr. Tim Budnick and Shauna Reidlinger from the Ohio Dominican University Physician's Assistant Program. And I wanted to ask you, you know, what change in demand and change in need for the PAs in Physician's Assistant within the healthcare community are you seeing, and what do you foresee as the demand for the future?
Well, I think in general, just with Affordable Care Act and other changes that have occurred have made a need that I think a PA can definitely provide, and a collaborative approach to patient care. And that's really what we stress throughout the program, is that as a PA, you're working with the physician. You're a team, and that's what the patient expects, and that's what you should give them. Mm-hmm. And so I think that what we've seen from the local community in Central Ohio, really not, prior to having a program here, not a regular influx of students, so not a lot of direct experience with that type of training. And so we've really seen, we were discussing this earlier, that it's taken time to kind of build that pathway, but we've really seen some positive results. Certain practices wanting our students back, wanting to hire our graduates, so it's been really a positive.
What are some of the more popular areas that PAs are being used currently?
Big one is emergency medicine. Mm-hmm. And that, like, historically has always been very popular. But then also in surgical, either general surgery, cardiovascular, orthopedics, and all the varieties. Sometimes they're office-based only. Other times they're office and surgery-based. And then at the bigger institutions like Cleveland Clinic, you have PAs that are just employed to work in the OR, and they bounce from service to service kind of wherever they're needed, maybe primarily orthopedics. But they, you know, if someone's doing a complicated intra-abdominal case, they'll bounce over there, or a spine case or something. The push now, as Shauna said earlier, is to get more primary care focus, mm-hmm, which I think is a push in general in medicine. Mm-hmm. I know that was a big thing at Kirksville for us.
Oh, yeah.
You know, trying to push primary care, but we don't, you know, we're still seeing that as a major need in the industry.
Well, I think that PAs serve an interesting role because, you know, I remember following around, you know, subspecialty surgeons who would have, they'd have their nurses with them. This is prior to, I mean, we were a little ahead of the curve in PAs getting real popularized. Right. The military kind of had the,
Absolutely. Began
that a lot. But I would see a role for a PA in that you could really follow a surgeon, especially, and I've seen some, you know, nephrologists and things like kidney doctors and that kind of thing, where they'd keep a PA with them all the time, and they'd do rounds with them and really get a good education for them in their subspecialty, and then follow them into the OR. They knew what they wanted. They knew their, you know, the surgeon's desires and needs in the OR.
To that point, what is the scope of a PA's practice? What are they able to do, and what are they not capable of doing? And maybe compare that to what a nurse practitioner or a nurse clinician can do.
And it's interesting because from a scope of practice, that's very much state determined, and that there are different regulations per state that are tying with your license. So the way that Ohio now works, we've had a lot of changes in our legislation, is that the PA can work under the scope of practice of their supervising or collaborating physician. So it's really a delegation of responsibilities. So if I'm working with an orthopedist, then my scope is really as broad as that. But while I'm with that collaborating physician, I can't perform things that would be under the scope of a nephrologist.
Okay.
But as a PA myself, because we are kind of generalist trained, we could at a later point in our career change directions.
Shift gears.
And that's actually a pretty appealing aspect of the profession, especially as we all grow in age and decide to do different things.
Sure.
So the scope of practice does vary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
No. So the Ohio Dominican program has been with us, I'd say, for about 4 years now.
Mm-hmm.
What makes that program unique in being a part of Ohio Dominican from, say, some of the other PA programs that are around, such as Kettering or the new one that from Ohio University up here in Dublin?
I think one of the things that we really focus in on our program is our being at a small liberal arts school, our Catholic focus of the university, and trying to relate that as much as we can to the mission of our program. And one of the ways we do that is we have the students participate in a lot of service learning projects. And that's not a requirement of a PA program, but that's one of the identities that we as a faculty collectively thought was important, matched the university, and we thought it was a good direction to go in.
Sure.
And so we actually have some of the applicants that come to interview from various places really say that's really one of the things that interests them the most, is that integrating that portion in your education, the more likelihood you're going to integrate that in your practice.
So what is a service learning project?
So one of the things we do is we work with Catholic Social Services here locally, and our students are placed with in their friendly visitor program. And so on a routine basis, the students will go out, and it's more of a social isolation experience. It's not really a medical experience. And so I think especially for some of the students that don't have a background in various things, it helps them to understand that when you're practicing seeing patients, if the patient doesn't have transportation, doesn't have support or financial means, your treatment plan isn't going to work. So how can we expose them to things that may help them down the road when they're practicing make a better choice? So that's one of the things they do throughout, and then they do an experience paper and project based on that. And so we're really excited about what that's done for our students and how they can continue to build on that. Other things we do is they participate in various things like Table of Grace, things like that, through different church services and other social networks that we found have been helpful to the students.
And I understand you go over to Moen Hall, right?
We do,
which is, as most everybody knows, is where all the religious kind of go when they're end of life and sickly.
Right. Or in need of more assisted living facilities over there.
You were there after one of your hips, right?
I was never there.
All right,
well, I get to go there quarterly. I'm fortunate to work with Moen, and they're great. And so our students, one of the great things is during their didactic piece is that they are able to go and see the residents there, do history and physical to where they are at trained in the program. And so it gives them an experience. And as we tell them, you can't beat the commute. You walk across the parking lot and you're right there.
Right. Yeah.
So it's perfect. But
the
they've been fabulous.
House call you ever made.
Yeah, they've been fabulous to work with. We're very fortunate.
Well, and most of the patients over there have been educators all their lives. So
they really enjoy it.
They love having students coming in who are trying to learn, and it gives them a purpose. It gives the students, huge experience. Because a lot of them never really I won't say talked to an elderly person, but never really cared for one, or a handicapped person or something. Yeah. They've come from undergrad and then right in, so they don't have those life experiences. Mm-hmm. But as you know, when you're in practice, you get out.
You never know who you're going to be talking to.
Right.
Yeah, right. No.
You know.
And I think that is true. There's a mm-hmm. lot of, you know, we kind of isolate out elderly and those who are infirm and stuff like that, and we keep them cordoned off, and that's really where you got to go.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, absolutely.
I'd keep you cordoned off.
Ah! Yeah. I knew it was going to get me back. That was
is there a relationship between the diocese and the PA program, the Diocese of Columbus?
Working with some of the actually social networks in the diocese, we right. have done that. Yeah, okay. That's kind of been the connection we have at this point. Bishop Campbell has been very supportive of our program and coming over to the university, and it's been great. And as he says, he had a PA help him out one time medically, and so he's very a very good supporter.
Yeah. So if someone, you know, the PAs have to go through their clinical years, mm-hmm. and it seems to me that can be one of the more difficult things to do, is to place these people into programs. Sure. If there's doctors listening to the program or people mm-hmm. who are interested in helping them out in their clinical rotations, either with primary care, OBGYN, orthopedics, cardiology, mm-hmm. whatever they do, how can they become more involved as part of the PA program at Ojai Dominican?
Tim will call you, right?
Right.
Just like he did to me.
I'll show up at the office. Yeah, however you want me to get a hold of you, I'll do it.
Right. They can become involved as preceptors, as guest lecturers, a variety of different ways, and we're happy to do that. And another thing I think with our program that we're very fortunate to be in Columbus with such great access to providers is having people in their specialties come in to lecture to the students in the classroom to supplement what the faculty can provides on an ongoing basis. And I think it's a nice change up for the faculty, the students, and it provides a positive.
Well, and another thing is for the, you know, physicians out there listening, if you say yes that you'll take a student, it does not mean you're going to get one every month. You might just want two a year.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Sure. Or, you know, you might want 12 a year, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But a lot of people have the idea, if I sign up, I'm going to always have a student. Yes, if you don't say no, we will always send you a student, but that's not the way it is.
Right.
Well, you know, I always looked at these opportunities to take either PA students or nursing students or mm-hmm. whoever as kind of like a prolonged job interview.
Yes, it absolutely is.
And, mm-hmm. and with what we're going to see in the increase in demand in healthcare that we've mentioned several times during the show, I think it's a great opportunity for you mm-hmm. if you are considering using a PA within your office practice or even within your surgical practice or whatever you're doing. It's a great opportunity to bring someone
really
in, see how well they work, see how well they work with you. And mm-hmm. if at the end of the month it doesn't work, nothing lost. But you had a great gain.
Right. And I can say easily 50% of the graduates have taken a position where they've rotated or a connection through a rotation, at least half of them that happens with. So I think you're absolutely right. It's great on both sides.
Well, you know, and the other thing that I was thinking about is that this must invigorate your biology and chemistry faculty, and this must make mm-hmm. them get their juices flowing mm-hmm. to teach PAs.
Mm-hmm. It does. It does.
I mean, because that's just one more graduate program that they can get their hands dirty in and really, really get them tuned up. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Well, in the time we have left, we have just a couple minutes left. Tell us how people can find out more information about the PA program mm-hmm. or what the application process is like. So if they're interested, after hearing the show, they can start the process going. And when do you take new enrollees?
Right. As far as the application to become a student in the program, that starts, we utilize a national, it's called CASPA organization that you apply through, and that starts in April, and that goes through next November. And so we actually start interviewing in October, and interview through the end of January, and for our class that would start in August. So the cohort that's starting this coming August, we've already wrap that up, but the application cycle would be starting in April for that would be August of 2017.
Now, mm-hmm. like with medical school, we had to take the medical college entrance exam. MCAT. Is there a test that they need to take for that?
We like them to take the GRE, but if someone has taken the MCAT, we also take that as an entrance exam. So Both ways.
Are there various information programs that you put on throughout the year that people can attend?
Yes, we do. I do quarterly info sessions at the university. We have one coming up in March. And so ODU's website is wonderful and will provide information as far as when that's happening and further contact with us. And we're happy to talk with you about the PA program, precepting students.
Financial aid.
But yes, all those things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. So there is financial aid available for people who are in the mm-hmm. program.
There. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And again, you take 50 students a year mm-hmm. If you can fill that role, and that's absolutely wonderful. Well, we want to thank you for coming on the Catholic Doctor Show,
absolutely.
A production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. I think PAs are going to become an integral part of providing health care mm-hmm. for the future, and I think Ohio Dominican has a great program there to help provide the numbers that we're going to need. And good luck to your success in the future.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming on. Mm-hmm. You've been listening to the Catholic Doctor Show, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Until next week, we hope your week is happy, healthy, and holy.
God bless.
The Catholic Doctors is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of The Catholic Doctors with Dr. Michael Parker and Dr. Will Turek are available at stgabrielradio.com. Veni, Sancte, Spiritus, Veni, Penaria. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the...
Most of us can recall a childhood memory of innocence and a peace that only comes from God. Yet with our busy schedules today, many families don't attend church weekly or spend much time teaching their children about God. So many families now are burdened by financial and family challenges, substance abuse, and other worries. But there is hope. Studies show that people who pray regularly and practice their Christian faith are less stressed, financially stable, more compassionate, optimistic, healthier, and happier. Experience a positive difference in your life and for your family by coming home to your parish. Learn more by visiting CatholicsComeHome.org today. Here you may find answers to your questions and discover how Jesus and the sacraments will bless your family. There's no pressure or risk. You've got nothing to lose and everything to gain. Do it for your kids. Do it for yourself. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.